just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you use that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Welcome back to Orilli Radio, show 114B. This is going to be the funner side of that horrible coin that we were flipping here. A was the whole issue with, Orlando Strong, hashtag everything, and, you know, all the issues that we had with the mass murderer in Orlando. If you chose to skip that one, good on you. I understand completely. Next week, on show 115, we're going to address Second Amendment issues. So that should be fun and probably argumentative. So,
excellent.
So tune or stay tabbed for that, I guess, since this is all the internet and everything. But anyway, welcome to Orilli Radio, where we dismantle current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversations that ought to make you say, oh, really, if you're paying any attention whatsoever. I'm your host, Andy Cowan, and I have Stephen Griffith and Daniel Atherton. Welcome, gentlemen.
It is good to be back, and I have missed that theme song.
I'm glad to hear it. Glad to have you back as well. That job must be absolutely killing you. So,
possibly in actuality, considering how little I move sitting at a desk. Yeah, I think it does. Given the other subjects we've covered on that, actually.
That's true. Yeah, that's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Okay, so, hey, if we make mistakes, you should call us. We have a voice line number. You can leave us a voicemail. You can also send us a text message, 470-222-ORLY, also 6759 for those rotary dial phones. Leave us a message. Tell us what you think, what we did wrong, how we can do things better, what your favorite color is, you know, any recipes that you have for the crock pot, you know, whatever you've got. It's okay. Secret sauce, it's good. You just bring all those to us. If it's too long for a voicemail or, you know, your shorter text, how about you email those over to us at Orilli Radio Podcast, all one word, @gmail.com. I think that would help. Just, you know, get it out of your head. So we don't have any errata yet because, well, the B shows don't have errata. Well, sort of. I guess the B shows don't. No. Anyway. All right. So we're going to be a little bit disjointed because we did not have science on A. So B gets it all. Ready?
Yay!
Here we go.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
If you're scientifically literate, the world looks very different to you. It's not just a lot of mysterious things happening. There's a lot we understand out there. And that understanding empowers you.
If you base medicine on science, you cure people. If you base the design of planes on science, they fly. If you base the design of rockets on science, they reach the moon. It works, bitches.
That's right. Science works. And it has been busy. Now, last year, we did discuss this, I believe, a little bit on the show. I'd have to look back through our archives. But back in December, 4 new elements were discovered. And now they've actually been codified completely, and they're being slotted into our good old periodic table of elements. These are going to be very difficult to pronounce, but if you're watching in the YouTube, and of course you should be, you should see 4 highlighted icons down on the, if you're looking at the periodic table, it's down not in the weird lanthoids or actinoids, but up in the normal elements, down in the lower right-hand side. There's 4 new ones there. So at 113, 115, 117, and 118.
We've got 115 is actually easy to pronounce for me because I've been pronouncing that one for years, ever since it was theorized. It's Unum Pentium.
Unum Pentium?
Unum Pentium.
So we've got...
weird way of saying 115.
Nihonium, Muscovium, Tennessean, and Oganassen.
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 They have renamed them. Interesting.
Well, of course. You know,
it's the actual name versus the common name as we see for so much on the periodic table.
Yeah, you don't call it by the number, you know. Okay, so time to throw out that old copy of the periodic table. New names have just been penciled in for the four elements officially recognized back in December. Nihonium, Muscovium, Tennessean, and Oganian? Oganis? I just said it. Oganson?
Oganessen.
Oganessen. I don't know. Is that right?
Oganessen.
Oganessen. I like that. Oganessen. Yeah. S-on. Som. Oganesson. Will grace the blocks.
Chemist. Eerie Oganessen.
Oh, is it? I guess that's further down, isn't it? It sure is.
Yes.
Okay. So, they will grace the blocks assigned to atomic numbers 113, 115, 117, and 118. So, the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry, the IUPAC. Not to be conflated with any of the political action committees. This is totally different.
This is a pack I can get behind.
That's right. Barring any serious challenges during the five-month comment period that ends in November, the new names will be officially added to the table, as shown above. So you can find this and all of our other links in the show notes out at our website, orillyradio.com. So now
I just got the joke of element 113. That's hilarious.
What's the joke of 113?
Nihonium literally translates to land of the rising sun, and it was discovered by a Japanese team.
Nice. Nice.
Well done, Japan. Well done, indeed.
Well done. Well, yeah, why not? Of course. It is up to them to name it, I believe. You know, the discoverers. Yes. So they have dibs, and I like that. Yep. And now, on to Law and Order. This is now going to be the SCOTUS section, because we're not just talking about SCOTUS, we're also talking about local courts, and anything legal is going to end up under Law and Order. That, and of course, I've got this. Because why not?
It's fun.
It's super fun. It really is. I may add some Judge Dredd drops too, you know.
I am the law.
I'm looking for the future where I can hardcore contribute to this because, well, I'll be pursuing a law degree here at some point.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully school is free by then.
One could only hope.
Yeah, no kidding. So we got the Friday Roundup out at SCOTUSblog.com. So yesterday, which was Thursday, the court issued three decisions in argued cases. So let's see here. Oh, that's really small. Let me make that bigger for folks and, of course, for my eyes because I don't want to bring my glasses out. Okay. Yesterday, the court issued three decisions. Let's see. We have coverage of court decisions in Kurtzang versus John Wiley and Sons, in which the court weighed in on the standard for fee shifting under the Copyright Act. Oh, that sounds like that's a great read right there, I bet. And that comes from Ronald Mann in this blog. So you can follow the links to these links in our show notes. This is going to be some heavy reading. Coverage of the court's decision also in Universal Health Services versus United States Xrel Escobar. Xrel? Wonder what does that mean? Xrel.
I have no clue.
That's nomenclature for something. I don't know what it is yet. By the end of this show, eventually, you know, the show run itself, I'll know all these terms. I'll be so good. It'll be awesome. Okay. It's in which the court. Oh, you have it? Okay. That was quick.
It means literally upon being related or more loosely on behalf of.
Escobar. Okay.
My Google foo is strong.
And quick. That was good. That was good. That or I can just I can talk long enough to let that search happen. It's a good team.
Also a possibility.
It's a good team. Okay. I like how this works. So in which the court ruled on the circumstances in which the implied false certification theory. Okay. Can be the basis for liability under the False Claims Act. That's interesting.
That's a page turner, man.
Yeah, confusing. But I think that's why it ended up being a legal case. Okay, and let's see. And David Savage of Los Angeles Times, he was also working on that one. Also, while at Crime and Consequences, Kent Scheidegger, looks at the interesting and potential relevant aspects of yesterday's cases. Oh, well, that's good. That's very good. Briefly, and this is definitely a good thing. Okay, so briefly, at the Sixth Amendment Center, David Carroll discusses the Monday's decision. The court ruled that the tribal court convictions can be used as the predicate offenses for habitual offender statute. Man, legalese. So much legalese. Okay. Even if
that's
the defendant,
a big thing, though.
Yeah, even if the defendant did not have an attorney in the tribal court proceedings. So that's good. Okay, so court ruled that the tribal court convictions can be used as predicate offenses for habitual offender statutes.
Yes, so if they were tried in tribal court and did not have an attorney and were convicted, those convictions stand for the habitual offender statutes within, I'm guessing, federal court then.
It would have to be. Probably. Yeah, well, yeah, in court, yeah, in, so, in, well, court. Not tribal court.
That's actually rather significant.
Considering how a federal court tends to treat tribal courts?
Yeah.
This is big.
Yeah, so federal court is honoring the convictions of a tribal court.
That's exactly what it looks like, yeah.
That is pretty major. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a milestone. All right. At Hosts of Error, Will Rosinger, Rosewig, that's it, looks back at the court's recent opinion in Foster v. Chapman, describing it as unremarkable in its obviousness.
Have fun with that one, folks.
Yeah. So, hey! Okay. At Cato at Liberty, Isla Shapiro and
Jamie Weber.
Oh, it's actually, wow, very phonetic. Very phonetic pronunciation there. Okay, Weber urged the court to grant review in a case in which lower courts upheld a settlement certification without opt-out.
In
a case that originally made claims only for monetary relief. They argue that if the decision below is, quote, allowed to stand, this precedent will be a wink and a nod to class counsel and defendants everywhere that if sufficient care is taken in crafting a settlement, they need not worry about the rights and interests of those pesky class members. Ooh, okay, so this is class action lawsuit territory. So,
yeah.
Now, this is urging the court to grant review to the case. The lower court upheld that a settlement certification without the opt-out. I hate that they put in right after opt-out. Opt-out in. Without the opt-out. So, it's such terrible wording. I hate legal. in a case that was originally made, claims for only monetary relief.
So, to try and translate.
So, if it's just cash.
Yeah, the settlement was for cash. But in the settlement, it did not have an opt-out clause. So
you were in it by default.
You cannot deny the settlement.
Right. So it will go forward without your consent as a class action member.
If the company that you as a class action group decide to sue goes and contacts the court and goes, well, we're going to go into settlement proceedings. And there's no opt-out clause for that settlement. It's just going to get settled, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Which means then the money will be distributed
amongst those that were in the class action suit, but
without a nod to the rights and interests of those in those pesky class members in the suit.
Well, it means that those members that are not satisfied with the settlement cannot then opt out of the settlement and continue on with their case, breaking up the class action suit into an individual suit. It will be considered all at that point, to use no better term, settled. It'll be done.
You accepted the judgment.
Yeah. Even though you did not want that settlement, you wanted to go to trial. They're serious. Right. The Supreme Court needs to look at this.
That's serious stuff right there. I don't know about you, but I've had many an envelope come by that I was somehow involved in a class action lawsuit. I had no idea. I think I even got a check for like 5 cents once. By the way, it was like a 49-cent stamp.
I was involved in one and actually got like $300, $400 out of it.
Wow. Well, that's entertaining. Okay. So we'll be on the lookout for them to hopefully take a look at that, because that's some shady territory, and there's an awful lot of attorneys out there that's what they do is they'll gather a bunch of people up into a class action lawsuit. Yeah, we've discussed that on numerous times on the show, with just different things that ought to go into a class action lawsuit with how many people, like the disenfranchised voters, and you know, name your state here. You know,
or again, not being allowed to unionize all the fast food workers.
Yep, that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, so also at the Appellate Practice blog, Lisa Sronen, Soronen. My Soronen. No, wait, that's wrong. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult your name. Okay. looks ahead to the next term's Trinity Lutheran Church of Columbia versus Pauley. She observes that there are two ways of looking at this case, both of which are hard to argue with. State aid to religious organizations means less money for secular causes, and all preschool students should have access to safe playgrounds no matter where they go to school. Ooh.
Okay, that one looks like there's a lot to unpack.
There's going to be some unpacking on that one. But we'll look at that when they look at it. So also, let's see, at the Room for Debate feature of the New York Times, Eric Rubin and Josh Blackman discuss gun control and the court. Hey, maybe we should investigate that one.
Later. Pin.
Yes. Well, yes, pin. Let's put a pin in that one. Yes, we'll put a pin in that one. And a symposium at the Case Western Reserve Law Review looks back at the 20th anniversary of the court rulings in Horen versus United States. Whren. Ooh, this is an interesting website. Horen versus United States. This is from back in 1996. Oral arguments, April 17th, 1996. There's actual audio and all sorts of good things here on OYEZ.org.
Oyez.
Oyez.
Yeah.
Hey, they've even got podcasts. Might have found a new source here. And this was decided by the Rehnquist Court. What the hell did they do? Wren and Brown were driving in a high drug area. Some plainclothes officers, while patrolling the neighborhood in unmarked vehicles, noticed Wren and Brown sitting in a truck at an intersection stop sign for an unusually long time. Suddenly, without signaling, Wren turned his truck and sped away. Observing this traffic violation, the officers stopped the truck. When they approached the vehicle, the officers saw Wren holding plastic bags of crack cocaine. Wren and Brown were arrested on federal drug charges. Before trial, they moved to suppress the evidence, contending that the officers used the traffic violation as a pretext for stopping the truck because they lacked either reasonable suspicion or probable cause to stop them on suspicion of drug dealing. The district court denied the motion to suppress and convicted the petitioners. The Court of Appeals affirmed. The Supreme Court granted Sertori?
Setiori.
Setiori? Setiori. What? Okay. Google. A writ or order by which a higher court reviews a decision of a lower court. Basically, yeah, we're going to look at that. Did the officers conduct unreasonable search and seizure? Fourth Amendment.
No, the unanimous court held that as long as the officer had reasonable cause to believe that the traffic violation occurred, they may stop any vehicle.
And there you go. So this does have long-term impacts to us, as in anything that gets you pulled over can then be probable cause to do anything else. Basically.
If there is reason to pull you over, if a traffic violation occurs and then the officers notice evidence to another crime, you can be prosecuted for that other crime.
Yeah, you can't get out of it just because, you know, this led to that.
However, just remember, if you ever get pulled over, you are absolutely allowed to say, no, officer, you are not allowed to search my vehicle, and by federal law, they cannot search your vehicle.
However, they can look through the window.
Yeah, you can't stop somebody from necessarily looking, mm-hmm. as long as what they're looking is not obtrusive.
Yeah. Obtrusive?
They can't, like, take the flashlight, be staring straight forward into your back window and everything else and looking around.
Actually,
that's considered search.
Actually, I think they can, as long as the window is rolled up.
They usually flash through to see if there's anyone sitting back there.
Yeah, but if they actually penetrate through, then they've violated that, I think.
Possibly.
So if the window is open and they actually, you know, pass that boundary, I think that's where it is. But again, then it's like he said, she said kind of stuff. And it's like, no, I didn't go in the car.
Well, nowadays, the beautiful thing is dash cams.
True. Beautiful, revealing, and protective of officers, because you never know what the heck's going to happen. It's the most terrifying thing for any officer is a vehicle stop.
In my opinion, again, quick little aside, dash cams and body cams protect officers more often than they indict an officer.
Yeah, I believe so. But they're definitely there to protect all of us. All right, now, moving along, those were cool, but the thing that really got my attention was that for the second time in a week, the Supreme Court has rejected the government of Puerto Rico's efforts to use its self-governing powers, this time nullifying the Commonwealth's attempt to devise a mechanism to work its way out of more than $20 billion in public debt. The 5-2 ruling on Tuesday in Puerto Rico versus Franklin, California, tax-free trust left the financial fate of the island entirely in Congress's hands. A compromise debt revision solution passed the House last week and now awaits Senate action. Yeah. Wendy, do you think that Puerto Rico will ever actually be a state?
No.
No? You think they're just going to languish as a territory forever and ever?
Yes.
The problem is, every time they come to a vote, it's almost dead on split. It's just very little wavering between yes or no. And most of the time where there's a majority about for the decision, it usually is a majority say, let's stay a territory.
Hmm. I wonder if that's going to change as generations die off.
Possibly.
I wonder if it's a generational thing.
Now, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I've noticed a trend, and maybe I'm completely off base on this, but I've noticed a trend where younger generations simply cling to the past less. They don't care as much about the history of nearly anything.
Or
you know, for good or for ill.
I see they care about the history, they care about that. But they're more willing to go, yeah, that's all nice and everything, but let's move on over here and keep that and remember that.
Yeah.
But let's not be mired in that.
More progressive.
They're much less traditional.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out in another 10, 20 years, depending on how long it takes them to bring it to another vote. But yeah, this is interesting. And of course, since they're not a state and just a territory, they get all sorts of problems.
So just remember, folks, tune in. Oh, really? Radio show 1025.
Maybe something like that. I did start the numbering with four digits, so I'll just to give you an idea. Okay, so that's fun. That's fun and all. And, yeah. So that ends that. Oh, yes, finally a break.
Hi, O'Reilly Radio listeners. This is your host, Andy Cowan, calling my voicemail to make sure that it still works. Please consider calling us, 470-222-6759. Bye.
It's time for another good idea, bad idea. Good idea.
Daniel, you had you'd brought us some good ideas today.
Well, it's good ideas paired with another thing that needs to be unboxed later.
Of course.
The Brexit, which is Britain is voting on the 23rd of this month, of June. Whether or not to leave the EU.
So that's just a cute little thing. Britain exit. Brexit. Yes. Okay.
But the debate on the Brexit and how it has been conducted, not just within Britain, but in Europe as a whole, has pushed a number of progressive groups to go, hey, this entire individual, you know, nation state thing that we have in Europe really doesn't work when it comes to the big changes that we all really want. So we need to fix the EU. So there's less, you know, so that there's less states' rights and there's more federalism, but as a continental block.
Huh.
Based instead of individual sovereign states, well, you'd have sovereign states like the United States.
Yeah.
With a government over top of all of that, which, yeah, would make them an amazingly powerful government and bloc in the world. They would rival us rather quickly, probably, depending on how quickly they could get behind that solidarity.
But there is actually now this youth, as we were saying earlier, youth groundswell, and a number of youth political action groups coming up around this specific debate. And pushing it forward. Now, as a quick dark aside, just recently,
the quick dark.
A British MP who was pushing for Britain to stay within the EU, Joe Cox, was assassinated by a radicalized British nationalist.
Yeah.
But that's for another unboxing. But no, there's been a number of both young, middle-aged, and old that are pushing for a number of changes in the EU and to strengthen the EU. Because the EU right now is sort of almost like a confederation, really, and rather weak. Yeah. And there's certain bullies in the room, like Germany, which has been which through the economic plans within the EU has been pushing again and again and again for austerity. And austerity is great if your economy is strong. Doesn't work when you're already in a crippled economy and trying to dig your way out.
Yeah, because sometimes you actually do have to spend your way out to increase liquidity.
Yeah, so yeah. Germany being, you know, the one that's holding the purse strings has really hurt a number of member nations. The two that immediately come to mind are Greece and Spain.
Well, Greece has a long history of shooting themselves in the foot.
Oh, yeah. So. There's no debate there, but there some of the economic policies that were held by their economic minister, who was pretty much just giving middle fingers left and right to Angela Merkel, was going, no, we don't need austerity. We need to be spending like mad in order to get ourselves out.
Yeah, the most recent guy actually was a hardcore, seemed to really embrace Keynesian economic theory, which was when you're in a slump, when that economy is crashing, you spend with wild abandon, knowing you're going to basically, you know, you're pushing the car down the hill to get the engine to kick over. And once it starts going, all right, you can start pulling back on that spending and start recouping some of your debt that you just built up because, well, look, the engine's running again.
That's a great analogy. That really is a great analogy, pushing the car down the road to get the engine started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do that kickstart kind of thing, yeah. We Are Europe, a London-based youth movement encouraging Britons to vote to remain in the EU, is born out of a recognition that the pro-Brexit campaign is uninspiring and based on narrow arguments about the economy and immigration. Quote, as a generation, we want more from our politics. We don't want to scaremonger or get into a slanging match,
yeah.
Says Harriet Kingby, one of the movement's co-founders. There's so much to celebrate about the EU. We're trying to illustrate with our own content the history, connections, and close relations we have with the EU and which are taken for granted. It is such a small divide, you know. It'd be like living near the border of a state and just going over there for lunch. You can do that in Europe. Nearly everywhere, thanks to...
Especially if you're in the EU.
Yeah, especially, you know, thanks to the, you know, great public transit all over Europe.
Oh, well, I mean, in England, you can just take the tunnel over to France.
Yeah.
It's easy. There's also ferries that you can take from the UK over to Norway.
Mm-hmm.
You can day trip Norway.
Yeah. I mean, we really don't have the concept here in the United States of just how everything is.
No, because we're just a giant nation. But it's more easier to think of it, especially if you're not here in Florida, which is a giant state. But take, for instance, something a little less landmassy.
Actually, true, I'd say the Northeast.
Well, yeah, like going from Boston to New York.
Living in Connecticut and working in New York.
Or Jersey.
Yeah.
Again, it's that being able to cross over into a place of different culture, different heritage, and spending time there, working there,
and not having all being okay. Visa with you.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know, of course, with the TTIP, you know, we're not sure exactly how any of this is going to go, because there's certainly the cultural history and all that they can pound this as much as they want. They can work on these drums, but there's bigger things at stake here.
Well, there's a number of issues here when it comes to the Brexit. The big hard line that their conservatives are going is about immigration. Now, yeah. Immigration there in the UK is much more difficult than it is here in the US. And yet they're still decrying immigration because being in the EU actually makes it a bit easier than it used to be back before the EU was formed and Britain joined. Also, Britain's EU responsibilities for taking in Syrian refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been a big conservative protest over that. And the foolhardy old chestnut of immigrants taking jobs.
Oh, yes, that Schrodinger's immigrant, you know,
yeah.
Simultaneously living off the dole and also taking your job at the same time.
Yes.
Yes.
And they're brilliant. That's been the primary argument the conservatives are making for the Brexit. Now, there is a number of actual valid arguments on either side of this vote that's upcoming. And ones that make far, far more sense than what either side is arguing. But again, it's the being able to look at somebody else's problem from the outside than being on the inside of it.
Yeah. We do have that that luxury being where we are.
Especially with the EU, because, I mean, the argument is the smart argument for leaving the EU. One, the EU, as it stands, is a weak confederation that forces the stronger members to prop up the weaker members, right, member states, economically. There's not much for the stronger states to get as a benefit. And
what's Britain's in it for me?
Britain's economy is one of the stronger ones.
Yeah.
But again, if you want to reform the EU and make it work, you can only do that from inside the EU. Also, leaving would greatly, for a short term, greatly weaken Britain's economy. It's theorized that the pounds would plummet on the global market. No, there would be significant problems economically for Britain in the short term. Probably taking them 5 to 10 years to recover. Even though they're protesting that they're in such hard economic straits now, they're not.
No, well, they always, that's always the claim. Even in a strong economy, they always claim that there's something bigger afoot.
The upside for leaving is they would have less issue with governing their own economic destiny. While they would take that short-term hit, they could then make their own individual treaties, trade deals, and have more control over their economy in the global market.
Yeah, Britain is the empire builder. You know, that's what they've historically done. And they have that long legacy to always fall back on.
Well, also, they actually do make a great deal of items that are brought to the world market. Mm-hmm. They still make a lot of stuff.
Including software and all sorts of things, especially in the North Asia.
Software, military hardware, cars, building vehicles. When it comes to heavy construction, they have some of the best stuff. No, they have a lot to offer on the global market. And the European TTIP.
Yeah, the TTIP.
That's also an argument for leaving the EU. They don't want to be saddled with what they see as a bad trade deal, something where that gives more power to corporations over individual sovereignty of nation states.
Right.
That's a valid argument for leaving.
Yeah. So what do you think? What are the odds?
Think they'll stay in? Honestly, at this point, especially with the assassination, I see it more likely that they stay in the EU just because of that emotional gut check. It makes the conservatives look really bad when one of their own, even radicalized, goes and kills somebody on the opposite side of the aisle.
I will say, yeah, given the assassination that was done, but also, you know, remember the recent Scottish vote, the Scotland vote.
Yeah.
And no,
that was close.
But it went in the direction of staying together. I see this staying the same way. It's going to be still, let's be together. We can change. If we have a problem, we can change things from the inside better than the out.
Well, you know what? It's happening real soon. June 23rd. Yeah. That's next Thursday.
So, just in time.
Yeah, we're going to know by the next show what they do. So, place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. I think they'll probably stay in. It's easier to stay than to actually take action to remove yourself, because then you have all that other burden.
Also, so, a lot of conservatives who are arguing for the Brexit have just been taken to task and shown to be fools.
A lot of politics there. A lot of politics. Of course, that's
they're arguing from a hardcore, old school nationalist position.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Social media outstrips TV as news source for young people. This one was brought up by Fred.
Fred,
he had to jaunt off because he's got parental duties tomorrow morning. Apparently, he's taking the kids out to Universal. So yeah, go get some sleep, dude. Okay,
definitely.
So this is out on BBC News. So they're a little bit more reputable than even some of our fine news agencies here on in the colonies. So social media has overtaken television as young people's main source of news, according to the report. Of the 18 to 24 year old surveyed, 28% cited social media as their main news source, compared with 24% for TV. So by 4% there, little margin. Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism Research is who did the study. They suggest 51% of people with online access use social media as a news source. This trend is rising with the use of mobile phones to access the news and undermining traditional business models. This is why it's, of course, interesting to, well, the papers and all the cable news outlets and what have you.
Well, it's less so for the cable news outlets, because they're still hammering home the old model.
But cord cutters are definitely starting to eat their lunch, though.
Yeah. But as for the papers, most of the major reputable ones, especially here in the States, New York Times, Washington Post, have strong online presence.
Well, I see here. Journal. Look at the graph here. You've got UK versus the US. So we've got we've got our foreign connections here. So in the UK, wow, email is actually even in there. So email, audio, video, home screen links. Oh, okay. So if your homepage is set to like Yahoo or something,
yeah,
and you get whatever blurb that is. So that's just the tyranny of the default. Various aggregators, not so much. They equate to maybe, well, less than a quarter of the pie, all those combined. Social media is 33%, and news websites or their apps is 48%.
That's for the UK.
That's in the UK. Now, news apps, news websites or their corresponding apps is only 23% for the US. We don't really care about those so much, but a whopping 48% is social media. So nearly half their people are getting their news from other people, essentially.
Yep. Why use an aggregate when the social media acts as an aggregate?
Yeah, though we do use aggregators considerably more than the UK.
Yeah.
That aggregator chunk there, though they did not give a number, I estimate that to be maybe 15%?
Maybe, yeah.
That's about 15%. And then the other 15% there, that takes up the home screen links, audio and video, email. Email's a much larger chunk in the U.S. than
here in the
UK.
States, yeah.
And other, whatever the heck other is. Smoke signals? Billboards? Who knows? The blimps coming around and saying, you know, have a new life in the off-world colonies. You know, who knows?
Love it.
Yeah.
I love this one line that I'm seeing.
What'd you got?
No wonder then that the march of the ad blockers is seen by some news businesses as a threat to their very survival.
Because it is. It definitely is. Yeah, we talked about ad blockers. Do you have a favorite ad blocker?
Yeah, ad blocker plus.
Ad blocker plus? Okay, that's one.
Well, I will say on a slightly related news story, the Young Turks have actually here domestically outpaced CNN's website. The Young Turks site has outpaced CNN's website and apps for people tuning in and getting their news on a regular basis.
Yeah, I remember when TYT was, they were all stuck behind the paywall and everything. Yeah, when they were just really getting started, really going.
Yeah.
That really made me kind of miffed because I didn't want to pay for it. I don't pay for the news anyway. I'm not going to pay for them. but now they've branched out and they've got just enough advertising to make it a sustainable business model.
As well as people paying that subscription.
Yeah, there are subscription fees for various things. As far as ad blockers, I prefer uBlock Origin. It's free, of course. There is another uBlock, but uBlock Origin, it's just dead simple. There's nothing weird. AdBlock Plus, they started allowing advertisers to pay to be whitelisted.
Good to know. Might be switching now.
Yeah. So I said, no. No, we're not doing that. So yeah, uBlock Origin. Also, it's easy. It's like, oh, something's not working on this website. Just click the big disable button. Okay. There, you get your website. And you can, you can actually selectively pick out elements of the page to block. So it's very, very simple if you want it to be, but you can also drill down. So yes. uBlock Origin. I also found, and here's a little tip for those of you with Android phones, you can use the plugins for Firefox in the mobile Firefox. So you get uBlock Origin on your mobile Firefox, and your browsing is just so much better. And you don't end up burning all that wireless data.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that, because forget the wireless data, just page load time.
Oh, God, it's crazy. It's crazy. And the big full-screen pop-ups that just take over everything, and it's like, I can't even use this page. I can't use this. Because all the targets are wrong when they, shrink down to mobile. Yeah, because they don't know how to do mobile properly. And then the advertisers, they just screw you. And also, the biggest worst thing about advertisers is that they'll get in this advertising federation and they'll just sell ad space to anybody that'll buy it. And as soon as they buy it, then they say, yeah, here's my code. Go ahead and put that in, would you?
Mm-hmm.
And the code's infected with malware.
Before we leave this story, the fun part is scroll down a little bit and look at the top social networks for news.
Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Wow, LinkedIn?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess you can get some.
Well, no, actually, for a great deal of targeted news, LinkedIn is very popular. So say, for instance, if you were following a specific corp out there, they provide their own news.
Wait a second. WhatsApp is not a social network. Not really. WhatsApp is a chat client.
It's still social networking.
Yeah, but no, think about it. They're getting their news in chat. Now, I know WhatsApp has been big on using bots and things like that, so I wonder if that's the catch there. And the same thing with Snapchat. And Viber. Those are instant message platforms.
Never heard of Viber.
So is Line, yeah. Yeah, Viber is very big overseas. So is Line. Line is very big in the Asian countries. Viber is very big in Eastern Europe. And it's good for making IP phone calls as well. And I think they've added video as well. But it used to be that was the way that you could call overseas and not spend, gobs and gobs of money on your wireless. So
I also want to know who the person is that they got who gets the news from Reddit.
Why only one guy, too? Reddit's actually pretty good for getting news.
Can be.
It can be, yeah. It's also really good for getting lost.
You have to filter a lot sometimes.
Well, so is Instagram? Really? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even arguing about Instagram yet.
Yeah. Those are percentages, and it is fair to say that for news use, not just all use, top social networks for news. So news use, 44%, Facebook, 19% YouTube, 8% WhatsApp, 10% for Twitter, Instagram and LinkedIn are 3%. Google Plus is you know, itching out there at 5. And then Pinterest, Snapchat, Viber, Tumblr, Reddit, and Line all get a share of 1%. Yeah, that's interesting. This is definitely something that you got to keep on watching, because that's where all the money is going.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, most of the platforms that we're using. Let's see, I'm using Google Docs here, and you all, we're talking together on, you know, another Google platform, and Google is paid for by advertising. So, there you go. Fun stuff. All right, and the last in the good section here.
This had me almost crying and cheering. I actually saw a lot of his speech.
Yeah, no, this is me again. My theme for the day is hope.
Yeah.
And this is like, oh my good heavens, am I witnessing the birth of possibly a progressive Republican movement based on this one individual?
Well, explain this. So it's a vigil for Orlando victims, Utah Republicans.
The lieutenant governor of Utah makes an impassioned speech at this vigil, where he goes on to apologize for his past treatment of LGBT individuals and humanizes and relates. It's very human, and it's calling himself on his own bullshit and taking himself to task and also trying to move the conversation forward. And good on him.
I'm hopeful, if nothing else, I can give some cover for other politicians who feel things but don't say them for whatever reason, Mr. Cox, 40, said.
Again, one of his other quotes, a little further down the page.
You can see he understands his privilege.
He says, yeah, there were some kids in my class that were different, Mr. Cox said at the vigil, which was attended by about 1,000 people. Sometimes I wasn't kind to them. I didn't know it at the time, but now I know they were gay. I will forever regret not treating them with the kindness, dignity, and respect, the love that they deserved. And for that, I sincerely and humbly apologize.
That's major.
That touched me so much. Yeah. Going, whoa.
That's good. I hope that it doesn't end up just being lip service.
From what I saw, again, if you look at somebody giving a speech or everything else, a lot of times you can read their body language, you can hear their tonal patterns or anything else. Is this just, you know, BS him just trying to get points, or is this something sincere belief? No, I encourage everybody to go out there and watch his actual speech, and it's impassioned. There was genuine heartfelt
feeling. If the Republican Party would actually prop up somebody like this, there would actually be competition and debate.
Between this guy and Hillary, I'd vote for this guy.
Well, I would need to see the
calls himself out.
I would need to see some other history, record. But yeah, this is definitely good. Mr. Cox said that the fact that many among the 49 victims in Orlando were gay shouldn't matter, but I'm here because it does. He said that change would happen through personal change, not through politicians, and praised the LGBT community for welcoming him at the vigil despite their political differences. Quote, "You have treated me with the kindness, dignity, and respect, the love that I very often did not deserve, and it has made me love you." Oh, the feels.
Yeah.
Oh, the feels.
Right in the feels.
No.
Oh, look, he gets it.
This is the conduct that we should actually expect from our politicians, but we don't get it.
Well, I mean, much less politicians, we don't get this from our fellow man.
Yeah.
Very often. This is just very, very human. It's so nice.
And this is why, good idea.
This is good, Jim.
You want to actually affect some change out there? Own yourself, hold yourself to the standards that you want others to hold them, that you want to hold them to.
Yeah.
Not just the standards you set for yourself, the standards that you want others to do, lead, and they will follow.
And for people who think this may have been a setup, something else, the...
Just watch the video.
Watch the video, but also the executive director of Equality Utah, Troy Williams, is the one who invited him to do this. He had no idea what Mr. Cox was going to say. Mm-hmm. But he had talked with him several times and realized that he was, you know, open for discussion rather than some people just, you know, shut down any kind of LGBT discussion that comes across. But yeah, he had no idea what Mr. Cox was going to say when he came to speak. And he said he called the result a beautiful speech.
And we hope that this will set a new standard of discourse with Republican leadership.
Now, one can hope.
Now, also, remember that this is Utah.
That was
conservative.
This is very conservative Mormon country where, you know, you don't talk about, you know, people being gay. Again.
You don't talk about sex.
No. No. Everybody's wearing special underwear. You know, it's a special place. They're a peculiar people, the Mormons, and they like it that way.
But it's an incredibly conservative state, and he went out and did something that may jeopardize his career out
this,
there. But
this
at the
could
same
cost
time,
him votes, yeah. Yeah, in that state, it could cost him
that he felt that needed to be done, and I applaud him for it.
Again, I like it's something that in psychology and in sociology you look at and say, acclimation and familiarity with something keeps you from, you know, stops you fearing, stops you hating things. You just highlighted, was gonna say, you know, he's like he said, his attitudes changed as he got to know people in the gay community, whom he praised for their patience with him.
Yeah, as soon as they are no longer the other people that you don't actually know. As soon as they have a face and you can talk to them and you realize, oh, well, they're not as bad as I feared.
As soon as you realize they're not this demonic other, this sinful, shameful other thing that is less than you.
Yeah.
Suddenly, oh, wait, it's a person. They just happen to be gay.
Normalizing the behavior. Yeah, you know, it's like they're just regular people. They
We're
walk
all
among
just
you.
Folk.
They walk among you every day, and you just don't understand it. You just don't know. They're right there the whole time. Yeah. The lizard people, they're right there. They're there with you the whole time. I'm kidding.
Yep.
Kidding about the lizard people, mostly. Mostly kidding about the lizard people. No.
They I'm mostly completely. Come out at night.
I hear they wear sunglasses at night too. Anyway.
Are you annoyed by misinformation spreading like crazy and you want to stop the flood of nonsense coming from all directions? Go to Wikipedia, as do all those millions out there. Did you know there's an edit button on all Wikipedia articles? Why don't you go and hit that button to start making the world's largest online encyclopedia a more reliable source of information? If you're specifically interested in skeptical topics, come and join us at Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, an international endeavor to change the world for the better, word by word. There are many ways you can contribute. You just need to start. You speak several languages? All the more reason to join us. We provide training and all the help you need. If you want to make a change, there's a nice community waiting for you out there. Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com, visit our website, that's gorillaskeptics.com, or check out the Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia Facebook page.
Bad idea.
Rio State declares public calamity over finances. This was just 5 hours ago. Tell me, what's going on here?
It's bad, folks. Rio,
called it.
Where the Olympics are supposed to be held. Currently, financially, they don't got the money to fulfill what they've promised.
Oh, that's not
they
good at all.
They never had the money to fulfill what was promised.
No, yeah. They didn't. No.
They magically hoped this money would appear... And it didn't.
State employees and pensioners are owed wages. Hospitals and police stations have been severely affected. There's a giant tax shortfall, especially from the oil industry. Brazil overall is in recession. It is like priority one economic crisis they need a lot of help.
Why is there an interim president and an interim governor? I mean, it sounds like they've got other issues there, too. Interim Governor Francisco Dornelles says the serious economic crisis threatens to stop the state from honoring commitments for the games. This is, of course, declared a financial emergency less than 50 days before the Olympics. Most public funding for the Olympics has come from Rio's city government, but the state is responsible for areas such as transport and policing. Interim,
you know that thing that they're not very good at anyway?
Interim President Michael Tremor has promised significant financial help. The governor has blamed the crisis on a tax shortfall, especially from the oil industry, while Brazil overall has faced deep recession.
To answer your question, and I remember this when it actually came down, and I was laughing my butt off about it. They were impeached. For corruption.
Corruption that brought the games to Brazil.
Yep. Among other things.
Oh dear. Okay, so in a decree, Mr. Dornelles said the state faced public calamity that could lead to a total collapse in public services such as security, health, and education. He authorized exceptional measures to be taken ahead of the games that could impact all essential public services, but no details were given.
Time for them to redeploy the death squads.
The state has projected a budget deficit of $5.5 billion.
And that doesn't seem much coming from a country like ours, but this is Brazil, and their budget ain't that big in the first place.
Well, not only that, but that money goes a lot farther in Brazil anyway.
Oh yeah.
So you know the buying power of whatever the Brazilian dollar is.
I don't remember offhand.
I don't know what their currency is called in Brazil. Rio's mayor Eduardo Paes said on Twitter, the state's decision, quote, in no way delays the delivery of Olympic projects and the promises assumed by the city of Rio. There are also concerns over an outbreak of Zika virus, which has been linked to birth defects. Of course, we've talked extensively about Zika and all the things that it does.
Two things about that. First off, the Brazilian currency is called the real.
The real.
The real. And it is currently rounded to 3.41 reals to the dollar.
Ouch.
And the second thing that gets me is, I love the concerns of the outbreak over the Zika virus. I have played a game called Plague Inc. Dan has played a game called Plague Inc. There are these random news stories that come across the top of the scroll bar while you're playing this game as whatever particular virus or bacteria you're trying to play. One of the things is, you know, concern over new disease possibly hitting the London Olympics. London Olympics still remain open, saying there is no problem. And I thought through the Zika virus, I'm going, oh God, this is the game being played in real life, and I'm both terrified and laughing my butt off.
Oh, Rio.
I was expecting over
500,000 foreign visitors.
Yeah. Basically, what Rio, what Brazil is begging, and I do mean on bended knee begging happens, is enough people come there and spend enough money in the short time the Olympics is there to pull their economy out of the hole they just dug themselves.
Yeah, but the Olympics has significant detrimental impact to any local economy that it's hosted by.
And long term.
That's proven. That's a proven fact.
I'm not going to Rio. Seven to be charged with Rio mass rape.
Oh, yeah.
Third minister resigns in Brazil. Just scrolling down. Hey, what's going on?
However, let me actually, the first thing you said there, I am very happy that is happening and going through. Because nothing was going to be said, nothing was going to be done, and just recently there was a mass protest where a lot of women took basically red-painted panties in symbology over what happened to this woman, and just laid them out in this giant, almost art form on the beach, and covered a large section of the beach there as a protest to you know, the fact that this was allowed to occur and actually forced the Brazilian actual government. Legal system to actually go, okay, let's do something because this is getting too much press ahead of the Olympics.
Again, I don't know why Brazil even wanted to host the Olympics. They don't have the infrastructure for it.
Prestige.
There's the nation is rife with corruption. It's a dangerous place.
Actually, it's two reasons. It's prestige, and so the people who are on top can get more money.
Yeah, but unlike the cash grab for Putin and his friends, where they actually have, you know, the military forces there to stomp down any protests and to put on a good show, Brazil don't have that.
Also, beyond that, actually another hilarious little side note story I remember coming across a couple of days ago. There is a favela, which is the slums. They're called favelas in Brazil. But there is one that is actually so large, it has its own internet service provider.
The slum has
the slum.
ISP.
This one particular slum is so big, it has its own internet service provider and wireless service.
Well, that's I don't know what to say about that. I really that catches me off guard in an uncomfortable way. So there have been mass protests of the interim president. While with further threats of impeachment over allegations illegally manipulated finance.
Again, there has just been such corruption in their government. It's
hi Podcat. Okay.
It's incredible.
Yeah, you just shoulder Sprocket cat.
Sprocket wants to snuggle.
Just a shoulder cat right here. That's what he's all about. Okay, here we go. Yes.
Yeah, again, say what you want about Mexico or Colombia and every place like that and go, yeah, they've got all this horrific fighting that's going on. But in truth, at least their government itself was actually kind of stable. Brazil's the exact opposite. Country, most people there, it's relatively stable. But my God, their government is crap.
This is crazy stuff. This is really crazy.
It's hilarious, though. But mostly it's hilarious because we're not in Brazil.
That's true. I imagine they're still laughing their butts off or terrified of Trump. So, you know.
Both?
Yeah, maybe both. Maybe both. It's that that nervous laughter in the corner. Yeah, that's what we get a lot of. Oh, so much fun. Okay, so, and, oh, what's this? A science? Down here in bed?
We did it! We succeeded!
Wait a second. This is not good. This is the first mammal to go extinct because of human-caused climate change.
And again, we did it. Frowny face.
Okay, so sea level rise appear to have wiped out a rodent species living on an island in the Great Barrier Reef. This is the first documented case of a mammal species going extinct due to man-made climate change. The mammal is called the Bramble K. Well, was called the Bramble K. Melomys? Melomys? It is a long-tailed, whiskered critter with reddish-brown fur that was about the same size as a small rat.
It's cute looking.
It looks like a small brown rat.
But it was native to an island on the Great Barrier Reef.
Matter of fact, it was considered the only one. Only mammal native.
Only mammal native to the Great Barrier Reef, and it is gone, folks. It is gone due to sea level rise.
While melomys had been abundant on the island in the 1970s, their populations had dwindled rapidly since over the last few decades, leading them to being listed as endangered. They were last spotted on the island in 2009. From August to September 2014, scientists conducted a thorough survey effort of the island using traps, cameras, and daytime searches to try and spot and count the species, all to no avail, leading them to conclude that it had likely gone extinct. The assertion that Australia has lost another mammal species can be made with considerable confidence, they wrote in their report to Queensland's government. The anthropogenic human-induced climate change was blamed for the extinction.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Other countries know that this is a problem, people.
Now, the key factor responsible for the death of the Bramble K. Melamese is almost certainly high tides and surging seawater, which has traveled inland across the island. Yeah, most people don't also realize we're actually losing an entire nation due to climate change and rising sea levels. There's an entire country which is actually ceasing to exist because of it.
Yeah, there are island nations that are going underwater.
Mm-hmm.
People are being displaced out of their homes.
Yeah.
And where are they going to go?
Many believe the extinction is likely just the tip of the iceberg. Climate change is putting enormous strains on species all across the globe, with a 2015 report finding that 1/6 of the planet's species could face extinction as a result. 1/6.
Yeah.
Yep, the country I'm supposed to talk about.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Certainly, quoting, extinction and climate change has gone hand in hand throughout the history of the world, John White, an ecologist from Deakin University, told The Guardian. So it is one of the first. It is more than likely not going to be the last. Bum, bum, bum.
Reminded of C-Lab 2021. Congratulations, Captain. You've killed us all again.
Damn it. Of course. Okay.
That's right, bring it back.
Yeah, just bring it all back. Okay, so, well, that wraps it up. So let's talk about some fun things. Do we have any picks here?
Oh, you got picks. We got picks for days.
I have to change mine now. I just saw what yours is, Andy. Damn.
Gotcha. Gotcha first. So, the much lauded Hamilton musical, which has been it pretty much swept the Tonys.
It's 11 awards of its 16 nominations.
Just amazeballs. But, you know, it's super popular for a show that many people have never, ever seen. But that's about to change as, finally, PBS is going to do
a
documentary of it. But, you know, that means that we'll pretty much be able to see it on PBS. So, and it's going to air on PBS October 17th. The entire show itself will be filmed as part of the process, and use of the footage in its entirety or otherwise has yet to be determined. So hopefully we'll get to see it. So there is at least some hope there.
You know, if they could actually just film it with the original cast, I would buy that DVD. I was lucky enough to find a way to.
Oh, you know it. You know it's already. It's got to already have been done.
Just throwing out there, guys. I'd buy that. I know Lin-Manuel Miranda's against pirating. Sorry, I wanted to see it with a live cast. But don't hold that against me. I'll pay you the money. Give me the DVD.
Exactly. Don't worry. It'll happen. It'll happen before he leaves.
Actually, he's leaving on the 9th of July.
I know. Before he leaves, already have been recorded. That's what I'm saying. It's already been done. Because really, every single performance is recorded. You know, it's a thing. They do that. Especially on Broadway. You don't let that kind of thing get away. No. So, hopefully we'll get to see what it's all about. Fred is apparently going to go get a tattoo, and there have been several tattoo parlors in Orlando that are doing free tattoos, but all proceeds.
Although, some are doing free pulse tattoos, some are doing tattoos, and all the money goes to the One Orlando Fund.
Yeah. So he's going to the Sigma Tattoo Bar.
Stigma.
Oops.
Yeah.
Stigma, not Sigma. Not Six Sigma. No. I'm not sure exactly which one he's getting, but there's some really pretty ones. Of the ones that are now shown on the screen, I like 3, 4, and 10. Personally, those are the ones I like.
I like number 8. Of all the tattoos I could get, that one makes you go, tempting.
It's really super simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super simple, just, unobtrusive.
I would shift the pulses to the, more to the middle, but
yeah. Well, I think that's supposed to mean that out of death, you know, there is still hope, there is still life.
Probably.
You know, because it's a flat line and then the pulse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, perhaps that's the way it is.
That's fair. That, now I have another way to look at it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, it could be upside down, too. I don't know. So, yeah, there's some really nice ones. And this is at Stigma Tattoo Bar. Stigma Tattoo Bar is, they've got a lovely Facebook page. Let's see. It's just, yeah, facebook.com/Stigma Tattoo Bar, all one word. And
yeah, there's
and
a bunch of them in Orlando that are doing it. Stigma's doing it. Atomic Tattoos is doing it. Most of the, a lot of the tattoo bars in downtown Orlando are doing this.
Yeah. No. I don't know for how long they're doing it, but of
it's
course all of these.
For only this weekend, from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, it just depends on, you still might be. Who knows? Who knows exactly how it's going to go? Hopefully it goes a little bit longer. Of course, the artists definitely need to get paid for their craft. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. At least there is a continued charity.
Yeah.
Daniel, what you got here?
Well, I've got some sports.
Oh, Orlando City Soccer.
Yes. Our Orlando City Soccer Club will be playing tomorrow for all of our live listeners and viewers.
That's right, Mama Van. You know about it, but you're not even in the state.
They will be live, and they're doing a number of extraordinary things, especially in the realm of soccer and in here in the States. At the 49th minute of play, they're actually stopping play. Soccer never stops play.
Yeah.
They're stopping play at the 49th minute.
Wow.
They're going to hold a moment of silence then. Also, in the new stadium, they are going to be dedicating a row in the stadium as a memorial to the 49.
49 seats.
49 seats. 49 seats will be rainbow-colored seats.
Okay. I also heard that there was going to be, like, sections all the way around that, you know, people were supposed to wear, you know, the color in that section, if at all possible.
There may be some coordination for tomorrow's match.
Yeah.
I'm not certain, but I... Again, the dedication of the 49 seats, that's pretty much unheard of. The stopping of play. Also, Orlando City has helped head up with the other local sports teams. The Predators, which is our Arena Football League. The Orlando Magic. Orlando Pride, which is our women's soccer club. To print out these Orlando United t-shirts. All profits from those t-shirts go to the one Orlando charity. So, also,
really,
yeah,
they're
I
really
I forgot,
beautiful
our
shirts.
Other, our like minor league hockey team, the Solar Bears. So, no, there's it's.
The Orlando City Foundation to make a $100,000 donation to the One Orlando
yeah.
Fund. Yeah.
No, there's been a lot of good coming from our local sports teams and
permanent.
One of our newest is doing a lot and in some ways showing up our more established teams.
Permanent rainbow memorial in Section 12 of the new stadium.
Yep.
Permanent.
And gets me because I drive through downtown Orlando. It's nice in a way because I get to drive down through there at night and on the way home. There are two buildings that always catch my eye ever since this event occurred. One has this row of lights that are up near the top of it. This is like a 30-plus story building. And each one of the lights is a different color for the rainbow flag. And there's a apartment building downtown that it has lights around the rim of its edge, and the lights shine completely down the walls, And across all four walls is the rainbow flag coming from these lights.
It's really nice to have the city embrace the community.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many other cities in this country that would just ignore it.
And then the support around the world. One of the things that I've done, one city I've always wanted to live in, I don't know if I'll ever get the chance to, is Edinburgh. I visited it once when I was much younger. And they, at Edinburgh Castle, somebody had to get a bunch of Fresnels or Parkans up there, rigged in series to shine rainbow colors on the castle.
Mm-hmm.
But they did that. So
yeah,
let's see. I'll actually throw this into the Twitch chat. That's the picture of it. If that is correct, I believe it is.
I believe you might be correct.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah.
And somebody had to work their butt off to make that happen.
Well, those are uplights. So those are down on the base.
Yeah, but that's the more recent one. They actually had a day after. It was far more. It wasn't as nice. But somebody had cobbled together something to display on the side of the castle. So
that's lovely. That's good.
And also Disney was lit up even more brighter than usual, I think.
And no, there's been a lot of support from a lot of our local businesses, especially donations to the One Orlando Fund, from NBC Universal, Disney, of course. There has been a lot of help. A lot of help is needed, but fortunately, it's being given.
I really enjoy Orlando's most iconic thing is
the fountain
in Lake Eola,
which only works quarter of the time.
it is an enormously complex device that breaks down constantly.
Constantly.
Also, it's struck by lightning all the time.
Well, most people realize, that whole thing, I believe, is bronze.
Yeah, and glass. You know, it's a very interesting thing. I've seen it opened up a couple of times. But they lit it up in rainbows, and you know the One Orlando Fund, the icon is, you know, a rainbow arch over the fountain, and the fountain's it's all in the rainbow and the pride flag, and it's really elegant. I like that. So we have enormously creative people here in Florida, especially in the Central Florida area, and this is. Well, the gay community has always been very instrumental and very creative in everything that is done here in Orlando.
They're a cornerstone of this community.
Yeah.
I mean, if the gays left Orlando, there wouldn't be a Disney.
It would not be the happiest place on Earth anymore.
Well, beyond that, they'd lose most of their staff.
They would.
There wouldn't be a Disney. There wouldn't be a Universal. Most of the parks around here, mm-hmm. a lot of the museums, almost anything of cultural significance in this town would be gone overnight.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys talked about that, but that's one thing that actually got me was what happened to Universal.
Oh, yeah, the wand lifting.
Because a couple of the people who died were actually employees over at Harry Potter.
There was one employee who worked the Harry Potter ride over at Hogsmeade, and he passed. And
there was an update on that.
In memoriam, they raised the staff, got a bunch of people together and raised their wands outside the ride.
There was an update to that.
Actually, not outside of the castle.
Ricky Rowland actually sent flowers to his funeral today.
Apparently breaking news for my wife, J.K. Rowling was so affected by his death that she actually sent flowers to his funeral, which was today. Hmm.
You know, one thing that we didn't mention was something that that as a creative person and a writer and storyteller, one of the most chilling things that happened was just the, imagine if you will, you know, a terrible scene of bodies on the floor everywhere, you know, the mass aftermath of it all.
Yeah.
And all of the cell phones ringing nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do anything about it. Not until everything has been done properly.
Yep.
You just have to listen to them ring and ring and ring and ring. And these are creative people, so there's going to be all sorts of weird ringtones. You know, it's just that just chills me.
Yeah.
So, however, it does make an interesting element to a screenplay, and I think that it should be added. You know, because that's one of those elements that it would be a good homage to the tragedy, and I think it would I would like to see that done. So somebody out there creative, turn the tragedy into art, would you?
Yeah. The one last thing that, again, on the note of art that I saw, and I signal boost. This was already sort of planned to be pushed. It got expedited due to the tragedy. A group of artists out in LA put together a sim package treatment, if you will, about trying to get more accurate portrayals of LGBT individuals in hero movies, TV.
Okay.
Because, in their opinion, one, most LGBT characters portrayed in film are extremes.
Yeah.
And if we want the hate to stop, we need to normalize these characters and treat them with the respect that we treat people. And there needs to be more of them. There needs to be more of them that are accurate and honest.
I want to see an Apollo Midnighter film.
But those characters, even then, are more extreme. No, we need new heroes, and we need them to be normal. Super powered, but they need to be just like Spider-Man. They need to be like Iron Man, Wonder Woman. They need to be a normal hero and just treated as such.
Just that's the only thing about them, is they happen to like the same gender.
And or have that portrayal be honest and accurate.
Yeah. Or, you know, even, you know, anybody on the spectrum, you know, the androgynous, those that, you know, are completely genderqueer, where they're not affected by anything. They don't care. You know, nobody's attractive. I think probably the best representation of that kind of thing was probably Jack Harkness. You know, Captain Jack. You know,
Captain Jack didn't care. Well,
he
Captain
didn't.
Jack had
pansexual.
Certain morals.
Yeah, he was just pansexual. You know.
Well, no. He had a requirement. The base species had to be able to perform advanced calculus. I remember that from that episode.
Oh, his, okay.
His friend, however, who was played by Spike, didn't have such moral qualms. As a matter of fact, would occasionally lift an interesting eyebrow toward a poodle.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's having honest and accurate portrayals in science fiction, and specifically in hero films. Again, there is nothing that normalizes an individual like having a superhero.
That's true.
Especially an accurate and honest and compelling one. I mean, Kamala Khan is by leaps and bounds helping the Muslim community and helping girls. Mm-hmm. And we need more of that.
True.
Well, I'm positive that there is such a comic book out there. Now it just needs to get made into a major motion picture.
Somebody in Hollywood needs to
realize studios need to actually, you know, get off their butts and be brave for once.
But there's money to be made in prolonging the problem. Don't you know?
No, yeah. It's just that a lot of people in Hollywood don't want to gamble anymore. They're not in making magic. They're into making money.
Yeah.
And they've lost their way. Because it used to be not just about making a boatload of money, which if you back the right gamble, you're going to make a boatload of money.
Well, once you make the money, then you can gamble. But a lot of
people already got a lot of money.
Well, a lot of people don't want to ever see that money go away. You know, that they're the filthy rich that would like to, you know, do nothing more than continue to be rich. And then there's the Daniel Radcliffe's who, I've made all the money I need. Now I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Yeah, but it takes the people that greenlight the projects, that fund the projects, to actually get off their butts and stop playing it safe. We don't need tons and tons of remakes. Just because there's going to be brand recognition which put butts in seats doesn't mean it's going to be a good film, and doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to do well.
And there's many things that just don't need to be remade.
Oh, yeah. But right now, that seems to be all that we're getting.
I mean, we could totally remake Zardoz, you know, but do we really need to remake Blade Runner? I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think we need to remake Zardoz. Let's be honest here. I have seen Zardoz. I know the quote. I know the line. I know the mantra. No, I will not repeat it on air. Look it up, people. Look it up. You'll never understand.
I did that.
Sean Connery in some really, really tight clothing with almost no actual clothing? Go look up Zardoz. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
I won't say really young. Don't say really young. That's getting their hopes up.
Let's just say he wasn't old.
That works.
He wasn't crotchety by then.
I'm not sure Sean Connery was ever actually young.
He hadn't completely shot his movie career in the foot and leg.
I was middle-aged and I needed the money.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zardoz says it's a cult experience. Yeah.
I Needed the Money is should be the name of Michael Caine's biography.
But Michael Caine's just been in everything.
That's because he's needed the money.
Yeah, but I like almost everything he does too. So, okay, I think that's done. We've completed another show. We've wasted your time and wasted our time, hopefully in a positive manner. Did you come up with any other picks, or did I took the wind right out of your sails? Huh?
You blew me out of the water. The only thing I can say to that is if you guys really like the soundtrack to Hamilton, Spotify has the whole freaking thing. Go there.
Oh.
The whole thing.
Well, there
it's
you
free.
Go.
You can pay the service if you want to be able to use it like on mobile devices without ads or such.
Yeah.
I just listen to my computer. It's free. Go. Spotify, Hamilton, you're golden.
There you go. All righty. Well, that's it.
Zardoz.
Zardoz. Okay. That's it for tonight. We'll be back live next Friday about 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, the conversations continue on the web. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's O-R-L-Y-R-A-D-I-O for all the links right at the top of the page. So you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google+, and subscribe to the YouTube channel and Twitch channel. Of course, you can watch us live and join in all the fun in the chat. And of course, you know, change the show as it goes. And you can do all that directly from our webpage at www.orellyradio.com. Let's see. You know, if you've stayed with us throughout this whole time, this whole merry mess that we do every week, you know, maybe you should give us a hand. How about that? You know, you're invested now. So if you have a few dollars to spare, you know, maybe you can really invest. You can contribute to the Patreon page and get early access to the show releases, and we'll even get some special perks here and there. Just follow the Patreon link on the webpage, and that'll take you over to patreon.com/oreillyradio, and you can, or you can make a one-time donation on the webpage at the donate button. If you can't fit us into your rainy day funds, you know, we completely understand, but how about you do us a solid and share the show and leave us a review? We're always looking for new ideas for the show, so how about you share them with us? Share what's on your mind. Shoot us a note at oreillyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Or if you're the more talkative sort, you know, we've got that number, 470-222-6759. It's always ready to take your call or text. We can't thank you enough for spending some time with us this evening. Until next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music for the show was created by Kevin McLeod of Accomptech.com. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Toodles.
Good to be here. See you when I can.
And that's it. It's in the can.
Really, any freaking Zardoz?
Zardoz. Yes, freaking
Zardoz. The gun is good. The penis is evil. Yes, I remember that all.
Well, that's the way to end the show. I mean, come on.
Are we fully clear right now?
No, we're not. No, I got that. No, that's at the end of the show. That's totally going in.
I want to make sure we got that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Besides, I don't think anybody's
watching. And once again, the corruption of Zardoz is now out there again. Other people will be infected by it, and I can no longer not worry about it anymore, because that's the only way you get rid of Zardoz infection is to spread it. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not. You're not wrong.